So what you see on screen at present is bad. It's bad because it's bad presentational material. And I would hope that in a few weeks' time, it's a couple of months' time, when you're doing your individual presentations for us, you will not actually have that amount of information on the screen and expect people to read it, because it's not going to happen. The reason I've actually put it up there, apart from an initial point, is obviously this is the module handbook, which technically you should read online and not on a screen. But what I'm going to talk about today are a number of key things to think about, to bear in mind, and I will guarantee that no matter how nervous you might feel about doing presenting, this will improve your overall approach by at least 37%. At least 37%. Okay? Scientifically proven and guaranteed. We've actually put this particular session in early in the module, because last year we didn't actually have a specific lecture dedicated to presentations, and some of the students who are now second years said they would have liked to have something like this. So I've kind of pulled it into the system, which means we might also just delay the launch of the presentations. Certainly they're going to take place after reading week, but I might well move it to weeks 8 or 9. I'll let you know definitely by next week from that point of view. We start then, as say the likelihood is, we'll take 3 weeks for the actual presentations to go through each particular seminar session. Okay, so watch this space, watch seminars, Blackboard announcements and so on, and we will keep you informed in terms of when that will be and so on. I'm also going to put in a little bit of a bonus as well today, which is a tease ahead to the session I give in week 9 about magazines and comics. Okay, so there'll be a little extra special added thing for that, which hopefully we'll show you how we put into practice what I'm going to be talking about in terms of what you need to think about for your 300 seconds of magic that you'll be doing after reading week. And by 300 seconds, I'm specifically referring to the length of time that's present in 5 minutes. In other words, how we're going to start developing presentation skills, also known as... ta-da! First thing you need to be aware of when you're doing a presentation is it's not natural. It's not natural to stand up in front of a whole group of people and not expect them to want to kill you or eat you or something. It's what human beings we tend to do. Those of you in 2 seminar groups where I've screened the wildlife footage from this week will know what happens in the wild. Ooh, who knows what's happening? But it is a necessary element of something which is an intrinsic part of the life path we've all chosen to be in. Journalism, broadcasting, presentation, academia, any of those areas, public relations, we're all faced with having to do presentations as well. You are not going to be faced with a 45-minute presentation or a 40-minute presentation. As I say, it is only 5 minutes. So don't try to pack everything into a 5-minute presentation. Select key areas that you want to pick out. Again, these slides will be available on Blackboard. The technology will hopefully enable the podcast to be available as well. So don't worry too much about writing all the bits and pieces down that I'm actually saying. The 5 P's is where I like to start off with. Perfect preparation, preventing poor performance. If you kind of know your subject, if you've read around your topic, if you know the key things that you're going to talk about, you don't have to worry about your notes falling to bits. You don't have to worry about constantly having to reading. You don't have to worry about not making eye contact with people and actually pitching towards the back end of the room. Again, we'll talk a bit about layout. I mean, fortunately, you're all presenting in seminar-based groups, rooms, etc., as opposed to lecture theatres. But same techniques apply. It doesn't really matter whether you're presenting in an elevator or Wembley Stadium. You're still looking at similar kind of areas within what we're asking you to do and so on. So also make use of your instrument, which in most cases is the voice. Most important thing possible. And you can use that by not going on and on at one particular level all the time, just engaging, reading something here, so you disconnect it. look to apply key areas. And these are things you can actually write down during your presentation on your own notes. So make use of another set of key elements that work through by using things like how you're pitching it. In the second year, I go through a whole series of vocal skills and exercises you can actually work with to kind of give yourself more energy and actually use your bellows and your lungs to kind of really power things out and so on. But the pitch is important. Vary it. You don't want it to be on a monotone level all the time, all the way. You will inevitably go out of here thinking, well, I'll now assess all my tutors on what they're doing, etc. And that's fine, because obviously at various levels we come into this at different areas, and I try to ensure that I practice what I preach. So I don't keep going on at the same time or speed up and talk at a speed which is becoming a little bit more difficult to understand because I'm still actually talking to pace. Vary it. Make use of dog's feet. Dog's feet? Is he advocating some sort of animal vivisection? No. Pauses. Dog's feet, pauses. Again. Be sensitive when you use humour, if at all. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, etc. Try and make sure that you give yourself time to breathe and your audience. As I say, you've only got 5 minutes, and the initial intensity with that is things scoot by. You want to pack in as much as possible. Yeah. At the same time, if you try and pack in as much as possible, the human mind, most undergraduates, psychological studies have shown, tend to tune out after about 6 or 7 minutes maximum. Usually the average is about 3 before, oh, squirrel. Oh, where's our things? So again, look at the pace, look at the pauses, and slow down. We tend to speak roughly about twice as fast as we would effectively think we're speaking. So we might think it's going at this particular pace, but it's actually going at that particular pace because you get so excited and want to get out of the whole thing and finish off. And thank you very much. Good night. Any questions? Sometimes, again, you just need to almost imagine the audience as cabbages or other sort of inanimate objects. Now, don't worry about everybody. Think about one or two individual people that are actually there and deliver that. And also, when you're using audiovisual aids like this, as I'll come back to, make sure that they're there from support. What you would not do is actually, or hopefully wouldn't do this unless you make your point, is to actually read your voice's essentials, a good presentation, its delivery can be enhanced by pitch. No. Your audience can read. Now, people have different views on this, but I know an awful lot of my colleagues in academia take it almost as a personal insult because you're suggesting that they're illiterate if you're reading out what they can already clearly see on the screen. Okay, so maybe think a bit about that in terms of the script. Maybe think about that notion of a picture being worth 1,000 words. And we'll go on to that in a few seconds. This is the key thing that you're going to work through. Start off by saying, we're going to talk about presentations, and then I'll go on to talk about a few other bits and pieces. Do a quick introduction, which explains pretty much what it's about. Sometimes you can't introduce yourselves. You know, if it's a completely new class, and even if it's an old class, just to identify who you are, what you're going to do, work through the process of going through the presentation, and then summarise at the end. Now, summarise doesn't mean repeat the whole thing. Just pick out a couple of key things you want folk to actually remember when they head on to the next stage, etc. This is known quite simply not only as the third top tip, but actually, curiously enough, the rule of three. Say what you're going to say, say what you're going to say, say it, and then say what you've said. Again, it's a standard line. You'll find there are stacks of articles, documents, views, YouTube presentations, all sorts of things you can find. There's fundamentally, they're all saying the same thing. This is my own version of it from my sort of Lambda background training, etc. This is kind of how you would work in terms of structure and presentations and so on. So, from the third top tip, on to the four R's. Do we have to roll our R's? Not necessarily, but this is what you can do during reading week or in the week or so leading up to the presentation and your topic that's actually there. Use your smartphones to record what you've actually said. If it doesn't work, if it seems awkward, write it again. review it, maybe ask one of your friends or colleagues or tutors to actually just have a listen to this, is this okay, etc., and then rehearse it. Now, of course, we're talking ideal world here. Some of you might be so stacked up with all sorts of things, you say, I've just got to do it. But again, if you plan, and those five P's, perfect preparation prevents poor performance, you can begin to start addressing areas that might cause problems. Like, of course, this one, if you're videoing. NVC, or non-verbal communication. I think the worst example I ever had of this was when somebody actually was doing a business presentation that I was at, and they sat like this, okay? Or they stood like this for the whole presentation. Okay, fine. You might sort of think, okay, although it does actually constrict your kind of chest area from that point of view. But then when they're actually thinking about doing this every so often, it becomes a little bit distracting, yeah? You think, what? Everybody has got, to a certain extent, odd little verbal cues, which maybe you just need to think about. It comes down to the choreography of the piece. Sometimes it's perfectly acceptable to walk around. I tend to do this in seminars and so on. Or, you know, stay in one place. It's entirely up to yourself. Whatever you feel comfortable with and which doesn't impact on what you're actually saying. Same thing as with respect to rehearse, rewrite, review, rehearse again. Just sorting out those key areas that we look for in terms of how the presentation actually operates and how it works and so on. And I'll show you where in the mark scheme that we have for this we assess you in terms of how this has been thought about and delivered and accessed. I've already talked about this. It's a standard line from any drama school and so on. Unless there's a specific dramatic point to actually turn you back on the audience, don't. They could stab you in it. But in terms of the whole range of things that think about, again, face front from that point of view. And equally, try and make sure, and you can test this, and again, with seminar rooms, it's not too difficult a situation, but make sure that people at the back of the room can actually hear you. Can everybody hear me at the back of the room? I can't hear what you're saying, sorry. Yeah, exactly. So again, just checking those sort of things. It's an optional extra if you want to say, would you like to turn off your mobile phones? I think we're all, certainly sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, etc. Again, not too worried with respect to that, but sometimes that's also applied as well. When you actually think about the acoustics, if you've got hard surfaces, and this is particularly important when you go on to recording things and devices, think about where you're actually sort of coordinating things. Also, sometimes, if you actually think it's an important part of your speech, doing something like that can be quite effective, okay? Because it's changed the environment as if by magic, literally just the flick of a switch. And it's also demonstrated that you've thought about switching things off, or even actually asking something, could you switch the lights off for this, please? Could you work for that? It's a sort of standard thing which breaks things up. It kind of gives another impact in terms of what you're looking for, etc., and then enables you to return to the piece as well, and you think, okay, that's all right. However, if you don't know where the light switch is, if you don't know how the actual equipment operates, problematic. So if you can, try and book the room beforehand. Just check you know pretty much how things work. Always things can occasionally go skew-whiff, even in the University of Lincoln. No, surely not, but yes, it can. So make sure as wherever possible, if you're using any audiovisual aids, and I would not expect for this five-minute presentation a huge amount. I'd expect some slides. I'd expect a few other sort of key things from that. In terms of numbers of slides, it's how long is this piece of string, but I'm not looking for 36. I would say maybe half a dozen or so. Key points, key areas will be okay. A few key aspects within that. Again, you haven't got a great deal of time. Already, I've been talking for three presentation lengths. 15 minutes. Okay? That's because, as I say, this is lecture, but it's still a presentation. It's just a longer form from that point of view. Continued. See the bouncy way I've wanted to give always keep that bouncy, bouncy, bouncy. It's like Tigger. Think of Tigger. Be a Tigger for your presentership as opposed to an Eeyore. Not that I don't mind Eeyore, but sometimes you just think, oh, Maldons. And also bear in mind, I mean, this is one of the things to maybe think about, that actually what you deliver, how you deliver it. It's, you know, we're not going to shoot you. And it's a building thing. It's a building block system. But try and make sure that when you do hit the ground running, there's a positive intro. There's a positive outro. You're working through on that premise that you're clearly demonstrating that, yeah, if you've chosen to do newsreels, for instance, great, you're up on newsreels. If you've chosen to do the public sphere, you can demonstrate when the public sphere first started. If you've chosen to do documentaries, you can focus on that. You know, there are key sort of elements. Again, choose a topic from the things that we're talking about over the next few weeks and giving you lectures on and having seminars on and so on, which you like, which you'd quite like to actually talk about and spend about 4 or 5 minutes talking about and sharing with us, and then maybe stimulating various other bits and pieces out. Okay? That's all in the good tick box column, etc. So again, what are the key things you need to actually make sure? What do you want to get across? If you're talking about documentarians, for instance, maybe you need to ensure, when did documentaries start? Who are the key people who have actually been responsible for making documentaries? How do we define a documentary? How do we relate to them in the present day? Do they still have a purpose? End of presentation. What do the audience think? Do you want to interact with the audience? Do you want to have one or two sort of key questions from that point of view? And this is where you actually go for further study and so on. In other words, what are the key elements that you want to actually make? That's quite important because we're not looking for you to simply replicate the lecture that we've given you in a shorter version. So it is important that you use our lectures as, okay, I like that point, I want to go into that point further, I want to go into that side of things, but it needs to be original material that you're showing, that you're demonstrating around the topic that might well relate to newsreels, documentaries, public sphere, new technologies, and so on. Magazines. That's what we're probably sort of introducing in terms of that. You tell us it's important because I've said it 3 times. So never, never, never. It's just so important that you work through it. Particularly, I mean, again, there is a tendency to say, oh, I've written this all down here. I need to constantly work through it. We're not asking you to memorise a 5-minute recitation. It's not a case of going into a Shakespearean piece of saying, we are glad the Dauphin is so pleasant with us for his presence and your pains we thank you for, we have matched our... We're not doing a drama degree. But one of the key things that you can convey to us and show to us and demonstrate that you understand your topic is by actually not reading constantly, eyes down, especially when you say, good afternoon, I'm here to talk about so-and-so, so-and-so, and you spend the entire time reading from the presentation. Okay, if we wanted that, we'd say, that's what you do in your essay. You write your essay, we'll read your essay, sorted. The whole thing about a presentation is it's there to connect with the audience and to make that connection, to actually say, okay, this is a summary, these are the key points that are actually there from what needs to be considered from my own point of view. In addition, I suppose these days you could use a tablet if you wanted to, or a mobile phone, assuming the power doesn't go and all sorts of other bits and pieces there, or just some basic cue cards. Because inevitably, I mean, to a certain extent, these slides are serving as my cue cards. They're kind of providing me with mental prompts to say, oh, right, have I spoken about that? Yes, okay, tick, move for that, move on to this one, and so on. So, you know, I'm not necessarily expecting you to have a whole range of 5 minutes worth of stuff memorized, but if there are sort of particular key writers or particular key books or texts or examples, you know, write them down, share them with us from that point of view. So that keynotes and elements that come through with that whole side of things. Again, it's not a dance school, but choreography can be quite important, just in terms of how do you want people to be arranged. Now, I didn't change anything here. The only thing I've actually changed really was switch the lights on or off once, and I'm kind of moving towards the right as opposed to the left. Now, actually, that's a key point, because maybe I'm sort of subconsciously ignoring everybody on the left-hand side. No, I'm not, honestly. It's okay. But if you're thinking about where things are going from that point of view, equally, you don't want to choose one particular person and stare at them for the entire time of the presentation. Otherwise, they'll get a bit self-conscious and think, what, where, whoa, whoa. But again, you need just to vary where you're connecting, how you're connecting, who you're connecting with. Equally, you don't want to be moving up and down constantly because that can be a bit distracting. Again, it's not just an exercise. But these are just things. There isn't a right or wrong answer, but it's like a musical piece of composition. You know when it actually works. You get a sense for when things are happening and when there's a comfortable nature about the whole thing. And you feel better and the audience feels better. Because part of the role of the presenter is to put the audience at ease. I'm fairly certain in my kind of appreciation of human awareness and support that nobody in any of the seminar groups will be saying, I hate that person, I hope they rot in hell and die on this presentation. Here's my voodoo doll. And I go, no, we're on your side. We are actually, everybody, tutors as well, we want you to give the best presentation going. Makes sense. Everybody wins. It's a win-win situation. So you don't think about the whole notion of how worrying and troublesome it actually is. Work on that basis. That's why I actually talk about sometimes whether it's Kanye West, whether it's the Dam Busters, whether it's the Sound of Music, I Have Confidence in Me, whatever. Just actually having a kind of internal theme tune which you trigger off, which kind of says, yeah, this is okay. So a lot of actors use this as a technique to kind of get into the role and so on, and actually just have an internal theme tune to kind of say, okay, this is my theme tune, this is going to be my moment and so on. You don't have to play the whole thing through, but you just give it a way in which it kind of helps you sort of get into the musicality of the piece and so on. This is, again, it's the ninth sort of tip, but it's also quite important. Suitable and relevant images. Okay? So far, students of semiotics, and I was delighted to see somebody actually did focus on Roland Barthes. Where are they? So actually identified. Yeah, well, that's the sported. I have used the PowerPoint facility of actually having a red curtain signifying a stage, signifying a performance, and white on red, and have gradually just used just a little bit of animation to kind of start bringing in a few other bits and pieces. I'll show you in a few moments when I start delivering just some of the introduction to the picture post, how I'm putting those things into practice. So things that we're talking about here today will hopefully serve you throughout your presentational career and will work through a whole range of other aspects. And you'll find that actually you can't wait for presentations. They're the one thing you really like to do and enjoy them and work through that process. Now, what are we looking for? Because sadly, we do have to assess you. Okay, there are sort of key points where we actually have to, I've kind of given you some initial lines in terms of how that's going. Well, we look for content. It can be the best, most wonderful, stylish presentation in the world. But if it's actually focusing on last night's episode of, I don't know, the Champions League, it's not necessarily going to win many points. I mean, it might win a few points if you talk about how wonderful Man City were in beating Hoffenberg. Fine, you know, I'd probably score you high, but it's a gamble. I wouldn't go on that sort of basis. So content, make sure that in terms of the brief, you select a topic that's chosen from one of the first four or five lecture sessions, excluding this one. I just want to make that clear. Do not, because that's a bit too kind of pop will eat itself. You say, yeah, I'd like to do my presentation on presentations. No, do not choose this particular topic. Choose any of the other lectures and topics that are around it that we talk about in seminars and so on. So content, make sure that's relevant and taken from the module and so on. How do you engage with people? Now, in a sense, that can often be manipulated slightly. You can make sure you finish with, has anybody got any questions? You can pick on individual people if you feel that one or two of your friends are sort of say, you know, have you got anything to add to this, etc. Just to give us a sort of sense that actually, yeah, there's a kind of level of engagement, both from the audience and from yourself in terms of the topic. If you've adopted the tips that I've gone through so far, it will be clear. Okay? Doesn't matter how confused you actually be, because you have clearly made out. Again, contrast the slides I've been using over the last 20, 25 minutes with the opening shot that I actually had up there of the handbook. See the difference between that. I know, again, it's interesting that last year we didn't work, and we did have people who actually almost seemed to put up everything on there. You don't have to. Okay, it's there to pick out some key elements. And simply making sure it has a beginning, like a good essay, really. And again, we do another set of things which we'll put online, which explains how to basically put together the absolutely great essay. It has a beginning, it has a middle, it has an end. Okay, within... I've talked about 5 minutes. We allow 30 seconds either way. So we're not going to kind of say that was rubbish if it comes in at 5.5 minutes or if it's a little under at 4.5 minutes. If, however, you're still going at 10 minutes, we would probably stop you. And if it's wrapped up at 30 seconds, we'd say, hasn't really sort of made that time sort of thing. So it does need to, again, working on the premise of time-wise, it needs to be 4.5 to 5.5 minutes. And ideally, we'll be spot on 5 minutes. But we're not asking for that level of precision at this particular stage. And again, how is it delivered? Is there backup there? So even if you got the massive, all-time cold of the century on the day, obviously if you had that, you would turn up from that point of view, but is it being delivered effectively? Do we feel as though actually we know that you understand the topic? Now, you could say you never know anything about anybody, really, whether they really understand the topic, but you need to, at least as far as possible, illustrate that as far as you know, you've covered the key things that are actually there. And one of the best ways you can convince us of that is you have a script. Hang on, you might say. Hasn't he just said we shouldn't actually have an essay thing that we should actually read from? Yes. But by script here, I mean things like collection of slides, maybe some notes that you've actually taken, all the kind of key things that you've put together to demonstrate that it's not simply been put together an hour or so ago. Okay, that has actually been thought through, that there's been a clear illustration of what's been working through. And as I said, that timing is important. It's the art of comedy, timing. And I've talked about engagement at the top, and I'd also say engagement with the audience at the bottom as well. Because if it's a case of people aren't connecting, you think, okay. I mean, I know we're all sort of polite, so we probably would, but again, try and make sure that there is a connection that's being made there. That is vital. Okay? Any Minions fans here? Oh. I should have obviously used Tigger after all. But it is, whether you, I mean, this is something, again, those of you who go on to do more broadcast material, whether it's radio, whether it's television, whether it's online, etc., having a positive happiness sort of found from that point of view does actually help extraordinarily well in terms of the actual package itself and how things are developed and so on. Now, do I put that into practice myself? Well, hopefully, but you should enjoy the presentation package. And looking upon that last little template that I've just been working through, I'm going to actually start talking a wee bit now about, hypothetically, an example which some of you might look to actually go through, which is talking about this thing, simply using black and white images and a few other bits and pieces, which ties into magazines and so on. And what I would be talking about would be the highly popular magazine, The Picture Post, which was published in Britain as a very popular form of journalism for 20 years or thereabouts between 1938 and 1957. Now, what I've done in that introduction, just echoing what kind of going back to what I've talked about in terms of presentation, is you've got the title. In most cases, with basic good vision, you'll be able to see exactly what the topic is. And I've also given you the time factor pretty much that we're working within. Okay? So there's quite a lot of information that's gone out there. Now, appreciate I would not normally deconstruct one of my lectures to do this, but that's the first thing. So that would be your basic introduction to the piece from that point of view. We'd then actually move on to maybe an illustration of what popular magazines were about in the 1930s and how things are actually operating. I would not actually say Spy, beginning this week, the most amazing thriller ever written, because I wouldn't presume that you couldn't read that yourselves. That you couldn't get a flavour of what is a fairly striking image. It's not the best image we could actually take. But then again, it could be what you feel is going to happen to you after the presentation. He showed us an image of somebody getting shot at a firing squad. No. But it does have a certain impact. It does generate. So again, you would find, no matter what topic you're actually choosing to do, certain elements which, you know, the stacks of slides and images that you can get online that you can use, that you can apply, which are completely copyright free, that are perfectly okay to be employed as a way of making a point. So again, you talk around some of the key things from that perspective. And then I might go into something a little bit more detail like this. This is not essential, but it talks again a bit about the magazine structure. You could probably all clearly see the kind of juxtaposition there between the subtext of the critical gentleman under the chimpanzee and the beautiful lady on the back of an individual. And maybe some notion of the Lilliput, the pocket magazine for everyone, just kind of start indicating who the audience was for this. This is an instance where I might actually, because this is actually quite small, and I wouldn't normally recommend things actually there, okay, you'll probably be able to read it, but I might pick out a couple of key points, such as Lilliput is the most fearless magazine on the bookstalls, it pokes fun at everyone, prime ministers or bishops, duchesses or bathing beauties, it makes victims of them all. But I wouldn't read the whole thing, okay? So if you have got text that you feel, actually, I do want to bring that point out, I might just pick out a couple of key areas and then say, if you're interested, you could look at it and give some references. I haven't mentioned that you can also benefit from just giving a select few references for your first presentation, a bit like your first essay. We're maybe looking for half a dozen or maybe a dozen maximum, probably somewhere between 6 and 10 or so references that you've used to feed into your presentation. And one of those references can, if you wish, actually be one of the lectures that you've had as well. So again, you can apply that in terms of where things are coming from. So we're not asking you as such to come up with original major work, but we are asking you to effectively repackage and redevelop and convince us that you've understood the key aspects that we've been looking at from that point of view. So in terms of saying what I would be saying and what I will be saying when I start talking about magazines and Hearth and Home and so on and so forth, I'll go on to start talking about the history of the Picture Post, how it was established by a German Jewish immigrant in the 1930s, who was key to obviously continue with the work that he was unable to do in Nazi Germany in the 1930s, which is quite a significant aspect. The fact that it made huge use of photography, that many of the still images of the 20th century kind of emerged from this particular period, where both American magazines and, in this instance, the British magazine, would refer to the notion of modernity as a particular area, a particular time, how things were being seen as modern, how things were relating to that, in a period which was austere, in a period which was full of the Depression. The Wall Street crash had happened, which had political upheavals across Europe. Could be the 21st century, really. But in terms of how that's being developed, also the post-war environment and the post-Great War environment, and indeed the subsequent Second World War, and also its demise. Its demise, which has something to connect very much with the demise of the newsreels. Because when you can actually watch moving images, why do you then need to buy magazines which have still images? Now, obviously, photography as an art form still very much to the fore. You can still connect with all sorts of areas from that point of view. But maybe it lost its editorial way and so on. Little phrase there, which also reinforces some of the key things I would be sharing with you as we're heading through that process, because it's shortened. It's also got you thinking, you see, PP, is that Pretty Polly? No, it's Picture Post. How effectively it's a populist magazine. How it's addressing sort of key areas that are vitally important. So again, you're beginning to pick out some key areas that are worthwhile sharing in terms of how the system operates and so on. And yes, the circulation figures of the Picture Post were huge. You know, it's we've actually got, very fortunately on campus, a complete collection of all of the picture posts over in the library. You have to actually ask special permission to actually see them, but I would certainly recommend, if you have an interest in magazines, going over to see the collections from 1938 to 1957, because every issue is there. It's a wonderful snapshot of things at the time, etc. And if you are interested in pursuing it for subsequent work and research, then definitely take advantage of that. Key names involved with the picture post. The publisher, who effectively was very much focused on obviously making a profit and working through the process from that point of view, and perhaps the two creative minds that were very much at the heart of it, the aforementioned former German Jewish Hungarian editor Stephen Laurent and Tom Hopkinson, who collectively kind of came up with the whole concept which became the picture post, very much modelled on the Time Warner magazine Life, which is still sort of existent, and indeed Time itself. So again, you've got a lot of other areas working within that, and again, setting a standard which many people say was very much influential in terms of how not just magazines, but newspapers have evolved and worked through that whole process. Timelines can be quite useful. There's a shortened version in terms of the way in which things were developed from that point of view, and somehow how the original idea of launching an illustrated magazine had a couple of false starts and developed before obviously it was finally taken over and launched as the picture post in itself. Now again, there's nothing that I've actually produced on slides otherwise here that any of you can't literally do within seconds. I mean, it's not a whole system from that point of view. But it's using the slides as a supporting mechanism, and it's providing a kind of aid memoir to find out what you want to go, what you want to do, etc. It also talks a little bit about the challenges that were put together when you have a conservative owner and a socialist-leaning editorial team, where things were actually going. In an era where fascism was very much on the rise in Europe, that actually things were changing, and there was a perception that Germany was still the enemy, even after the First World War, and certainly heading towards the Second World War, that issues were being made. And so you had a whole range of other bits and pieces, leading to the original description of Picture Post, a discussion over the cover, the choice of cover that was chosen. The original publisher wanted to have a battleship as the front cover, and the cover of a magazine is so critical in terms of attracting sales, connecting with that. Hopkinson actually wanted a girl. Stephen Laurent said, let's have two girls. So what you're leading on to here is, well, show us the cover. So we will. So again, you sort of tease ahead to that point of view. You begin to address what's happening. You work through that process and bang, there you have it. The first official thing. With, of course, again, you've got the notion of an American area that's there. You've got the Americana sort of element within that. And it's October the 1st, 1938. And obviously, shortly after that, of course, a year later, we were at war. But again, part of the period, part of the time, and so on. Okay, let's just come out of that again, because I don't want to spend too much time on that, because it'll be teasing all sorts of other areas that I don't want to go into at this particular stage, because maybe spoilers in all sorts of ways. You can always look through that. Let's just go back to those top 10 tips with respect to presentations and just leave you with a few sort of key things to work through. Remember, first of all, look at the kind of things that you're doing in your preparation. Choose a topic that you're happy with. Choose a topic that effectively you understand, that you feel quite comfortable in terms of spending 5 minutes or thereabouts on. Use your voice in a way that kind of increases its power, looks at how things are going, how you can develop things, have some honey and leaven, use the pace, use the pauses, use things which kind of open up the whole system from that. Have a beginning, a middle, an end. Work on the premise of, as we said, say what you're going to say. Say it, and then say what you've said. Okay? All of those key things are actually there in terms of flipping through the whole system. You can also have an additional slide, rather than doing what I'm doing now, and simply start regurgitating various other things. Repetition with difference is the most effective way of remembering things and leaving an impact. Probably most of you are too young to remember Tony Blair's education. And so you're all too young to remember the notion of the Prime Minister or the presidential candidates of the state saying it's all about the economy, stupid. But getting those messages, getting those soundbites and the things across are fairly important. If you can make use of the technology that you've actually got to rehearse, review, rewrite, rehearse again, think about the nonverbal communication. Again, we all have particular sort of things which we're comfortable with or so on. Again, look at sort of things that you can immediately sort of apply so you don't turn your back on the audience and so on. Make sure everybody can hear you. Everything else is sorted. You are actually in control. Never forget that. You know, as human beings being polite human beings, you kind of, for the five, well, I mean, let's say 4 or 5 minutes to set up, 5 minutes to present. For that 10-minute period, you've got the room from that point of view. And so sorting out what you're going to deliver becomes very much your responsibility, but also a way in which you can work the magic and develop various other bits and pieces within that. That is, again, something to bear in mind as far as give it your best shot, work through that process, things will work through. Look at what are the key things you want to actually make. Now, what were my objectives today? Number one, entertain you for 40 minutes or so. Make it worth your while. Secondly, leave you with a few key points that you at least take away and think, actually, yeah, presentations aren't that problematic. You know, it's not going to be that hard or that difficult to work through. I mean, I'm sure because we've got a continuum of skill sets here, there'll be certain folks who say, yeah, bring on presentation. Others will think, I can't do it. Yes, you can. The only thing which will prevent you from saying you can't is if you say you can't do it, in which case you won't do it. But if you say you can work through that process, you will, absolutely guaranteed. As I said, at least 37% improvement, probably higher. And again, thinking about other key points when you're using slides. I mean, there is a point, and you might well say, do we need to have any slides at all? Well, no, but you actually run a big risk then because you're really reliant on actually doing something without any support structure whatsoever. Now, it may well be that you're loquacious, you're articulate, you're eloquent, you can actually entertain. It's like a stand-up comedian. Whoosh, it's a win-win situation. But I really would be very careful about that. It's also a bit more challenging then, I mean, to supply that additional evidence, because what we'd probably be wanting to see is at least some clear recordings or scripts to say, well, you actually planned through this, you had actually sort of worked through that process. We live in an era where you need to always have evidence and documentation. So I'm currently in the process of writing the annual monitoring report for the public relations program and public relations and journalism and so on. So sort of areas within that. But again, if you kind of know what are the key things and what do you want to achieve? You know, if you want to go for a first class honors presentation, say you put that's at the start. You know, this is going to be a first class presentation. And it probably will get to that sort of area. Yeah, I mean, these are a lot of the sort of areas which I think, you know, last year, because we were just working this particular module through, and as with the whole degree, we kind of didn't put in a specific lecture on this program, but we did think, because we got a wide range of presentations, and we probably will get a wide range of presentations this time, but we did feel, as I say, listening to students and working through that process, it was worthwhile just giving you these key points, and as I say, these will be on Blackboard so you can return to them and pick up the key areas that are there. And those were all key points that I'm actually keen to make. Likewise, I would be disappointed if that point hasn't got across, okay? And equally, I think you'll find that you'll go to certain presentations where you'll see that happening. And you might equally find it's what irritates you. Ooh, that wouldn't have scored well, etc. And, well, that might be the case. Cue cards or tablets, both acceptable from that point of view. And when you think about the sort of key things that you're looking for, look at ways in which you can kind of keep yourself being positive and work through that. Well, I mean, I think one person actually did an excellent presentation a few years ago. They brought their mascot along, which is fine. It's all right. It doesn't matter. I mean, it can be an interesting diversion. But, you know, working through the process, it gives you that other aspect to bear in mind, which is try and ensure, just as the example I gave you in that opening sequence, which, again, I'll be kind of repeating in about week 8 or week 9, from the picture post, image, important. Key sort of elements there. I've used 2 images within the whole thing. Had some key dates. Those are sort of the key things there. One thing I didn't actually have for that, I do have it at the end, which again you might consider as a final slide to kind of really have a nice bow tie around the whole thing, is maybe have a slide with further reading or indicative text or other key things, just to kind of show, you know, actually this is just the start. Because in 5 minutes, that's all you can ever really do, just scratch the surface. But you can also demonstrate in terms of scratching that surface that you've come to grips with some of the key things that are actually there. And of course, in addition to that, all of your tutors, I'll put these things up on Blackboard. We'll show you how this is broken down into percentage points that we effectively award you for. Literally, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and there's another 2 that we come through and comes with the X factor and the overall delivery, which kind of give you the 100% sessions that are actually there. And as I say, whether or not you're a Despicable Me fan or a Minion fan or whatever, the key thing in terms of objectives is to enjoy the presentation. Has anybody got any questions? Is everybody still alive? Tapping the table. Okay, well, the good news is it's less hot and onerous in here than it was last week. Anyway, I'm heading off now. Are you still in here for a second sort of session? Make sure you've signed the register, though. Where is the register at present? It's over there. Okay, so make sure you've signed the register. Once you've done that, I shall see you next time.